What can we say but thank you? Lord, I thank you for the calling and the faithfulness of our brother, Lord, to just preach your word. Lord, I pray that even now you would fill him to overflowing. Your spirit resides in him. You said from our innermost being, rivers of living water would flow. So as he comes this morning, Lord, to just open your word to us and the message that you've put on his heart to share with us, I pray that it would have the effectiveness of the anointing of Almighty God. So God, I thank you for him. Bless him. Continue to provide for all his needs. Continue to bless and protect his family as you draw all to your glorious name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Welcome, brother.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's clap unto the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Extended. We have, as Pastor Tom said, we have come more closer, and we're coming closer and closer, and the blood of Jesus Christ bring us closer, and by the blood of Jesus, it is important for the body of Christ to draw closer and closer, that nobody can tell this is Pakistani church, this is Indian church, or this is that church. People can say and see these are the saints. This is the body of Christ. So we are moving here very close. And faithfulness pays. This is not my message. A few things I want to just excited and want to share with you. Faithfulness always pays. And several people who were briefly, maybe for 5 years in my life, pastors and friends, and some were longer, and one was Pastor Ernest Mull, a great gospel singer, and all over the world he was used mightily in Indian Pakistani people, hold crusades for 50,000 people, and his church was in Philadelphia. And he died, and after his death, many people were not faithful to him, to his family, to his church. Very close people that he did a lot for them, but few were. And I had no intentions of gaining any monitor or any other help, but I stayed faithful. I was calling, was being in touch with the church and his family, and his wife was in my ordination as well. From Elam, and they are the one gave me, they ordained me in 1999. So while he passed away about 9 years ago, I was being faithful to the man of God after he was gone. His wife, in my ordination, gave $5,000 check to our building project. Faithfulness pays. I was faithful to Pastor Charles, and he was faithful to me. In his sickness, two properties which we didn't get, he went to see. I never knew what was going to happen, but when he got ill, I was text messaging him scriptures and encouraging, visited here to encourage him. I never knew after he will be gone, your church will give me $7,200, which is in our project. Your church put a $5,000 check, and last time when I came about 2-3 years ago, and the offering was given by you people was $2,200. And it doesn't stop there. Faithfulness pays very well because God's character is that. So in that faithfulness relationship, recently you people gave $2,530. Vadim is here, Vadim. Vadim gave $120 or $130 when he didn't have, and he attended one of our service. And then later on, he gave to Pastor David Shorten. And then Pastor David Shorten worked engineering for us, worked hard, not charging us any money. And then not only that, Pastor Tom Bin, good help and standing by. And I asked him, I want to go through Elam to be ordained. And he told me what to do, who to speak, and so forth. And then we have Brother Mark Redding, not only in this project, but other properties too. He assisted and told from and counseled us from his expertise of 45-year building experience. And right now, we had some mini construction, which he did and not made a single penny a profit. Only the material and his laborers pay was given. This was done recently. So I really want to thank all of you, but above all, if it wasn't for Pastor Charles Arnold and Pastor Donna, all these people and the favors will not be there. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, his favor on us, nothing will happen. Without Jesus, we can't do nothing. My heart's gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord and to New Life Church. We may continue to build a relationship of faithfulness to each other, because God's heart is that we should be faithful to each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's clap to Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We last Friday, we closed on the property, and we have possession, and we are trying our best to get a CO, and we can start worship. If the CO is given to us, then in maybe 3 weeks, we will be worshiping there. Future, we will knock all the other rooms and make a larger sanctuary. We need your prayers and support continuously. Thank you to each and everyone. I gave a message last time I was here. I'm using the same text. And let's open our Bibles to Isaiah 42 and from verse 1 to 4. When you go home, you can read from verse 1 to 9, but let's save the time and read verse 1 to 4. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 to 4. And the other message that I gave, the title was, and still we can use the title, My Hope is in Christ. But today my focus will be My Hope is in Christ and the word Behold. I want to focus our message today and the preaching and teaching and meditation on Behold, that word, under the title of My Hope is in Christ. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. I have another message, and that is whenever your pastor will let me come back again, and I will preach another message from this portion. So this will be the second message, and I think the first message maybe, I think it was recorded, and I asked Pastor to put it back on the website so people can hear both of the messages. Let's go before the Lord. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, in the blessed and true name, in the name of Yeshua, our living Savior, we are so dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies us, and the word of the Lord, and by the Holy Ghost we may be sanctified this morning. And I pray that I may not be seen, but Jesus be seen. I may decrease, that he may increase. That I may humble myself, that Jesus Christ be exalted. I may die, that Jesus Christ live through me. Touch us each and everyone, that we today, by the meditation of the word of the Lord, will be encouraged, strengthened, and transformed, and we will find our hope in Christ Jesus. Our focus will be changed from the trials and the difficulties and the chaos in this world. We will change from all these discouragement and things like that. We will change our focus that Christ is able to do all things. Hallelujah. In the most blessed name, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, in this passage, as we see the world, the beginning word, behold. That word, behold, though Isaiah wrote it, but that word, behold, is God is saying, behold. Some places, the word, behold, is God, but it is coming through the servants and different people. But here, God is directly saying, behold. So we are going to look the word behold briefly in Hebrew and in Greek, what this means, the word behold. The word behold means to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care. And in Greek, couple of meanings. Don't miss this. Be sure to see. So when we see the word behold in the beginning, the chapter begins with behold, and then we see how different people, we will look quickly, how different people use the same word and bringing the word of the Lord to us by this word, behold. And prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 7:14, we see he used, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And then we see in the angel, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 31, the angel come to Mary, and the angel says to Mary, behold, that you will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then we see John the Baptist in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 29, he used, behold, and that is John the Baptist is saying, behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. And then we see another passage in Revelation. We will read that one. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Before we read verse 5 and 6, let's look at the beginning verses as well. Chapter 5, Revelation, verse 1 to 4. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. So this is symbolic, though it is talking about other things, but symbolically we can take that there are things in our lives, they're sealed, and we have become discouraged, and we become hopeless, helpless, and after prayers, fastings, and going after day after day, we have not seen any results. We have not seen any thing happening. We haven't seen any answers coming to us, and we see that these things are like seal. There is a seal on these things, and when we will get our miracle, when these darkness will go away, when we will see a change in our family situation or other situations. And then verse 2 say, then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So we go in this condition that we have asked pastor after pastor, we have asked ministries to pray for our child, our son, our situation, but we haven't seen the miracle. And no one has been able to help on the earth. No one was able to do these things for you or me. And we become discouraged. So, John In verse 4, so I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. We think maybe Billy Graham going to help us. We think maybe Benny Hinn going to help us. We think maybe Pastor Anous has the answers. But no one on the earth or in heaven was able to open the seals. And no one is able to open the seals of your trials and difficulties and bring liberty and break the captivity and imprisonment. And we cry and weep and we're so feel like helpless in times. We say, where are those miracles and where are those deliverances? Where are those things for us? And John was similarly, he saw the situation that how there is a scroll in the hand of God Almighty and no one in earth or in heaven is able to open the seals. And when he saw the situation, he felt helpless, he wept. And he found no one worthy. Verse 5 says, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep, behold, fix your eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care. Don't miss this one. Be sure to see this. And he said, do not weep, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals, seven seals. So here we see the elder of 24 elders, one of the elders is saying, behold. And then we see in verse 6, and I looked and behold, and that is John, the Apostle John is saying again, and behold, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood. They had him crucified. His body was broken. He died and they put him in the grave. But Jesus stood. There is one. He didn't find one to open the seals and to take the scroll in heaven and on earth. But there was one who died, who shed his blood. His body was broken. He was put in the grave. But he is still standing. It is Jesus. My hope is in Christ. So behold him. Pay attention. See to this, observe, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, speaks of that he is omnipotent, and the seventh eye speaks of that he is omniscient, all-knowing. And then we see in a couple of other scriptures, Pilate in John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 5, he said, behold the man. He didn't find any fault, any sin, and he said, behold the man. And Paul the Apostle, he didn't use the word behold, but in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So now we see the word behold is given us by the prophet, by the angel, by John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. And then we are given by the one of the elder of the 24 elders. And John the apostle also see and he says behold in the book of Revelation. And Paul and there the pilot also. But here in this passage that we read in Isaiah chapter 42, the word behold is God is saying behold, to fix your eyes upon, to see with attention and to observe with care. God is saying if you neglect a so great a salvation, how shall you be saved? If you neglect Jesus, how are you going to get the miracle for deliverance? Who will help you if we don't look to Jesus? So, behold, this word in Isaiah 42 is the testimony of God, of his Christ. It's wonderful to have a testimony and the word coming through the prophets to the apostles, behold, fix your eyes upon Jesus, and so observe with care. Don't miss this, and pay attention to the Yeshua, to the Savior. And the angel is announcing, behold, you will have a son, you will conceive and bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus, Savior. But here, God himself is saying, behold. Let's turn to see another scripture, and you also behold this scripture, because it makes a very wonderful connection to our topic, the foundational things that we're building up. First Epistle of John, chapter 5, and we'll read verse 5, 7, and 9. First John, chapter 5, and verse 5, 7, and 9. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And verse 9, very important. If we receive the witness of men, if we receive the witness of Isaiah prophet, the angel, the John the Baptist, the elder, and the apostle John in Revelation, and Paul the apostle, and many others, but then he's saying, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. God is saying, behold. God is saying, fix your eyes upon him. God is saying, observe, and don't miss this. If you miss Jesus, you will not be saved. Church did not die for you. Bishop did not die for you. Billy Graham did not die for you. It is Jesus who died, was crucified, and is risen, and is still standing. And he has all the authority in heaven and on earth. And he is my hope and your hope to bring deliverance to the captivity and heal the marriages and heal the home. Give him the highest praise in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This is the witness of God. This is the testimony of God. This is why God is saying, behold. Pay attention. Don't ignore. If you ignore, how shall you be saved? If you ignore Jesus for your situation, how you are going to receive your miracle? So long we have exalted people, ministers, pastors, and the pastors and the ministers do the best job when they, through their sermon and message and teaching, hide themselves behind cross and people see Jesus crucified and risen. If they can see Jesus through the message, the preaching of the word, they have done a wonderful job, whether they're shouting or whether they're speaking slow. It is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 4 says that in him was the life and the life was the light of men. This is the testimony of God about his Son. This is the testimony of God about his Son, that he will not fail. He will not be discouraged. Is whatever we commit and put in the hands of Jesus and not become half-hearted, not become discouraged, that thing will prosper. Now, I will touch a little bit on the things that about the testimony of God when he say, behold, and then he say, my servant. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, tells us that he came to not to be served, but to serve. And then also Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 8, speaks of the servanthood of Christ. So God is saying, behold, pay your attention, look closely, fix your eyes upon my servant who came to serve the humanity, who came to serve and giving his blood. His body was broken, his blood was shed. He humbled himself, he became a servant, and he served God by obedience, even unto the cross, endured the cross, and he became our servant because he served us by his body, which was broken for us. His wounds gives us life. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. So he became, behold my servant, God's testimony. And then he say, whom I uphold. What that mean? Whom I uphold. That means that God approves him. He is the only one given entrance to the heavenly tabernacle, which was not created in of this creation, but it is a heavenly creation, the heavenly tabernacle. And only Jesus was able to get the access there and apply his own blood on the mercy seat and became our high priest and seated at the right hand of God. All authority in heaven and on earth is given unto Jesus Christ only. The authority that he gives me or Pastor Tom or any of you is given by Jesus through his victory that we receive that authority. So God is saying, behold my servant, whom I uphold, whom I approve, who is at my right hand, who has passed through the heavens, and he has gone far above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in high places. Then he says, my elect. And that is 1 Peter 2:4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Coming to Jesus, the stone which the builders rejected became the very cornerstone. So coming to Jesus, he is my foundation. If I build on him, I put anything, if I turn my cares and my trials and difficulties upon him, he is the one, and those things I will not be shaken. Cast your cares upon Jesus because he careth for you. So he is my elect, God is saying. Then he say, one in whom my soul delights. Matthew 3:17 tells us, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So God's testimony is one in whom my soul delights. Then God is saying in the same passage of Isaiah, I have put my spirit upon him. In Matthew 3:16, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Isaiah chapter 61, let's read that quickly. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. So there is mourning in Zion. There is people who are hurting. There is people who are bruised in their marriages, in their family life, and because of their children, because of situations. And their back is bent, spiritually speaking. They have been carrying the loads and difficulties and stress and burdens and weights. And only Jesus will make you free. Jesus will not fail. He will not be discouraged from your situation, because all authority in heaven and on earth is given unto him. He is at the right hand of God to take care of you. So the Spirit, I have put my spirit upon him. So now, if we have seen the word behold by prophets, by disciples of Jesus Christ, we have seen by John the Baptist, we have seen by the elder, Paul the Apostle, and all those spoke, behold. But God is saying, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will not fail. He will not quench
the smoking flax.
He will not break the bruised reed. Now let's see a couple of examples of Jesus, how he will not break the bruised reed, how he will not quench the smoking flax. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Luke 13th chapter and verse 11, 13 and 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 11 and 13 and 16. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. She could not get over this situation. She became bruised. And she was bent for 18 years. Her situation was helpless. She must have tried everything. And then let's read verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. Who? Jesus. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And verse 16. So ought not, Jesus said, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, ought not you being the son of the Most High God in Christ Jesus, you being the elder or the pastor of the church, or you being born again, saved, and given your heart to Jesus, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years he be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? So if he healed on Sabbath, he will still heal on Sunday today. So the hand of the Lord came upon this woman who was bruised by being bent back, and her life was miserable. And people are miserable in their trespasses, in their sins, bruised by sin, bruised by marriage problems, family problems, children problems. The children are in drugs and other, and they've been continuously going after fasting, prayer, doing all those things. But God is saying, behold my servant, behold whom my elect, my chosen, whom I have put my spirit. He is, when his hand will come upon the situation will be straightened. The crooked ways will be made straight. Hallelujah. The anointing of the Yeshua will break every yoke. So he will not break the bruised reed, but he will build and mend. I'll tell you quickly. I don't know how much time I have, but Pastor Tom, I'm not looking at Pastor Tom right now. So there was a woman, African woman, short woman, in our brother Reinhard Bonnke's meeting one time. But she heard of that Reinhard Bonnke says that fire conference, and you can receive the fire of God. And the woman followed him, and she went to a, and she flew, she took a ticket on her credit, and she flew to his meeting, and it wasn't a fire conference, but it was just a crusade. And the place where the crusade was, they are all white people. Hardly you can see. So because she was from Africa, and she was prominent, so she came forward, and Reinhard Bonnke said, he said, I couldn't miss her because of that situation. So Reinhard Bonnke said, what you want? She said, I want fire. I want fire. Reinhard Bonnke touched her, and she went. This is Reinhard Bonnke. I heard from his own mouth, not from somebody. He said 25 to 30 yards, she went in the air and fell. anyhow, she was okay. So she got up, she went home, and she started ministry. 17 people in her home, 17 ladies came, and she preached. And another meeting, 100 people, and another meeting, more people. Another meeting, the whole place hold 4,000, but 12,000 came. And then the one flame of fire on this woman. Then she said, I want Hulo Park, where Bonke preaches, and they granted her. And Brother Bonke said, I was in her meeting, and she had over 200,000 people, that little woman. And then, the reason I told you the story, she was a divorced woman. And Brother Bonke said, I said, God, why you chose her? This woman, we have wonderful Bible schools. We have young men and women, wonderful, very bright, love the Lord. And why not them, any of them? And God said, because I take broken vessel and make them vessel of great honor. He will not break Bruce Reed, but he will straighten up. He will build the lives. That is our Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. And then we see in the next portion, God is testifying about his servant. And he said, behold, fix your eyes upon to see with attention, to observe with care. Don't miss, be sure to see. And that is Jesus. And he says, and he will not quench the smoking flax. And let's see in Matthew chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Matthew 4th chapter and verse 15 and 16. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. These people were in a great darkness, and many were possessed by demons and sickness and bound, and there Jesus went into these two towns, and the light came where the shadow of death was. The death was reigning there, and Jesus came, brought life there. Jesus brought light there and illuminated those areas, and people received light. And so Jesus will not quench smoking flax, but he will bring light. And there was a woman who was caught in adultery in John's Gospel, chapter 8. And the story is about this woman who was caught in adultery in the Gospel of John. We read it. And people brought her to Jesus. They made a mistake on their point of view. And they were ready to kill this woman. They had stones in their hands. And seconds away, her lights were ready to be put out. She was right on the edge. It was darkness all around her. Death was very near. People had stones in their hand to stone her and kill her, and she will be lost forever. She did not know Jesus. And they brought her to Jesus. He will not quench the smoking flax. This woman's life was smoking. Darkness. All the depression was there. Death was there. So she was surrounded in this situation. And Jesus spoke just the word. One word by Jesus turned around and brought light. If you read the scripture and right following that story in verse 12 of John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12, immediately after the conversation with the woman, that where are your those who accuse you? And she said, Lord, no one is here, and neither do I condemn you. And then Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He will not quench a smoking flax. That's our Jesus. And if your life is flickering, your family life, your marriage, or your child, keep hoping in the one who will not fail, who will not be discouraged. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, one in whom my soul delights, on whom I have put my spirit. The spirit of the Lord God is upon Jesus. He is the Yeshua. He is the anointed one. And behold him, the Lamb of God who took away your sins and put your daughter, your son, your marriage, your situation, your darkness, your smoking flax or bruised reed situation, put in the hands of Yeshua, because he will not break bruise reed. He will not quench the smoking flax. Fix your eyes upon him and to see with attention. Don't ignore Jesus. Say yes to Jesus now. And your yes to Jesus is only validated when you say no to sin, no to the world. Say yes, Jesus. You know the man who died, the rich man, and the Lazarus with the sores on his body. Why the poor man went? Because he said yes in his time to God, to Jesus. That's why Abraham said, they have, to the rich man, Abraham said, they have prophets. Prophets were speaking about, behold, the coming Yeshua. But he said no in his lifetime. The rich man said no to God. And then he could not, from the Hades where he was in torment, there is no road that goes from there to heaven. But there is a road go from earth to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There was no availability of salvation in the Hades for that man. Say yes to Jesus. Turn your smoking situation, turn your flickering situation, and maybe the lights are flickering in some situations that you're facing for your children, for your grandchildren, for your family life, for your finances, for your household, and for your church. And whatever the situation is, Jesus will never fail. Jesus will not be discouraged about less people in new life, because he can give us beauty for ashes. From ashes he will bring life again. Because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. My hope is in Christ. But behold, God is saying, behold, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, give him time. Fellowship with him. God has called us in the fellowship of his son Jesus Christ. And so far, we miss that fellowship. In that fellowship, the weak is made strong. Just like the husband is a covering of a wife. And the Bible says that honor her being a weaker vessel. The husband should honor and care for her. And so is the Lord who is strong. And he did not sin. He who knew no sin. And he was perfect. And God uphold him. God received him into heaven because there was no sin. He became victorious. And he is strong and almighty. And all authority in heaven and on earth is given unto Jesus. So when we have the fellowship, we who are weak are made strong in his fellowship. We find the strength. We find the anointing. We find overcoming the world. We find success. We find prosperity and blessing forevermore. And if we have situations that are bruised reed, his hand will come upon that situation. He will straighten up the situation. He will not quench the smoking flax, but he will give the light. He said, I am the light of the world. In him was the life, and the light, life was the light of men. He is the light of New Life Church. He's the light of my life. He will take the darkness away. But we must behold not Pastor Anus, not great and mighty men, Reinhard Bonnke, who shook Africa, but
we need to behold Jesus. We need to humble ourselves. We need to know that God, if God is saying, behold, he put his trust in him. He says, this is the words of the Lord. God Almighty says he will not fail. So can you believe it? If Jesus could take the scroll from the hands of God and open the seals, can you open the seals of your imprisonment, captivity? God is saying that he will not fail. So if your sons, daughters, they're in jail, prison, drugs, whatever, turn them to Jesus. Pray for them, intercede for them, but know that Jesus will not fail. Hallelujah. Let's give him the highest praise in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's clap unto the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. Thank you for your precious blood that sanctifies us. Thank you that there is hope for each and everyone. There is not a situation that you cannot handle, oh God. And you will not break the bruised reed. You will mend the marriages. You will make the crooked path straight. Hallelujah. You will heal your people. You will bring liberty to the captives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. If you want to come for prayer, I'm turning to Pastor Tom. We will pray because on Sabbath, he healed that woman. Her back was bent. Jesus will heal you today. Jesus will take your flickering life on the edge. Jesus will bring miracle in your life. He will do the miracles. When? Today. If he did it yesterday, he'll do it today. We may think, no, he'll do the miracle maybe tomorrow after I fast, after I do some things. What more we have to do? He's already done. From the finished works of Christ, he will heal today on this Sabbath, on the 17th September 2017. He will bring joy into your life. He'll bring liberty, and he will break the captivity, and he'll bring your life out of imprisonment. He will bring the joy back to you. He will bring the restoration to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Need some preaching now and then, right? Amen. Yeah, I appreciate that. Amen. God's wired and called us all differently, and we move in the ways that he's called us. And this morning, what can we do? What can we do but honor him, worship the Lord? And if you have something that you know you need the Lord to make straight, okay? You may feel, just as Pastor New said, like it is the end. You're not sure you're going to make it through this. The Lord wants to straighten that situation. He breathes life into it. I, as we look at that portion there, to think that God says, my soul delights in him, right? My son in whom I'm well pleased. This is the risen Christ who's here. He's here. I appreciate today, September 17th, 2017, the Lord can heal. So as I pray a blessing over you, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask those of you who want prayer, Pastor Noose will be here to pray, Pastor Don, Elder Andre, myself. Allow one of us to pray for you and touch heaven with you and allow your situation to be straightened out. So, Father God, what can we say? You are. You revealed yourself as I am. So we declare you are everything, beginning and end. All things made for your glory. So, Lord, we want to reflect that. But Father, as we go the path that you've led for us, the way that you've chosen, even as we leave this place, I pray that your spirit would go with each person, or that they would, even tomorrow, wake up and seek you first and allow you to lead them, to make their path straight as they commit their ways to you. So Father, I pray this blessing over your church as I dismiss them. The words that Moses used when he said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. You're blessed and dismissed. And please come forward for prayer if you need prayer.